Testing, testing, are we live? Now, before we dive into the brand new episode of That LCP, I want to give you guys a thank you, man. You guys out there, man, who stay showing love, stay showing support, stay supporting your favorite independent podcast, man. I want to give you guys a quick hand clap. Now, like I always say, man, if you love the podcast, do not just keep it to yourself. Tell your friends, your mama, your cousin, your auntie, anybody in your circle, let them know to check out the Lunchroom Chatter podcast on all platforms. Now, in this episode, man, we covered a lot of shit, from Six Flags being over, from some of you parents who cannot tell your kids they cannot sing. Tell your kids they can't sing, man. And as always, my guy Sully stopped in with his opinion. He is the resident podcast hood correspondent. He let you guys know a couple things, man, from the woman who said that she went on a date and the person took her too high up in the bleachers. He let you guys know what he thought. Also, man, he responded to a question about, would you be gay for that money? Now, that question was from a past podcast episode. And then after that, you guys know I had to dive into some celebrity news. So stay locked in. Stay tuned in. As always, let your friends know. Now, let me step aside. Let me let you guys lock in and tune in to that.
Brand new LCP. Brand new LCP.
Yes, sir. Right now, you guys are locked into a brand new episode of That Lunchroom Chatter podcast. I want to clap it up, man, for the love you guys are continuing to show your favorite independent creator. So I'm going to dive right into the shits, man. Now, Six Flags. Six Flags is a location that many of us used to love to go to as kids. Six Flags, Disney World. Summertime fun. The places we used to beg, Mom, can we go to Six Flags? I want to get on the Superman. I want to get on the roller coaster. I want to say RIP because those times are coming to an end. Now, last weekend, man, I had planned to take my son to Six Flags. We ended up not going because something told me opening day Six Flags, it's going to be some bullshit. So me and my son ended up going to the Wildlife Sanctuary here in Georgia. Thank God we did, because
opening day at Six Flags over Georgia. Police have now charged the teen who officers shot after they say he fired a shot at them. Now, some are asking, were warning signs of violence missed? Fox 5's Rob D'Arienzo is live in Cobb County tonight with the story. Rob, you've been digging into some social media posts that suggest this, that these attacks were planned.
Christine, good evening to you. That's exactly right. Cobb County Police tell me that they were investigating these posts well before this incident on Saturday, but just a few minutes ago, they showed back up here. You can see crime scene investigators returning to the scene of the crime, trying to collect any evidence they might have missed. The teen who police say shot at them is now under arrest, but one woman who says she reported those posts to Crime Stoppers thinks more could have been done.
Someone had posted that something was going to go down at Six Flags.
The video shows just a few seconds of the absolute free-for-all on Saturday night on opening day of Six Flags over Georgia. In the middle of the brawl, the GBI...
I want to pause it, man, because the thing that sticks out to me the most is that there was a big brawl between about 400 to 500 people. A massive brawl opening day Six Flags. Now, if you guys watch the videos, most of these are teenagers. 16, 17, some probably 14, 15 years old. And about 95% of the teens in the brawl are black. I want a bull, bitch. God damn it. Motherfucker. This is why I say, can we have something, please? Because I just told you guys last episode, man, my son, first football practice, he showed up, black football team, black coach. We show up 10 minutes into the shit. Coach get knocked out. Huge brawl. Huge fight. They cursing, going back and forth. And my son is about maybe a foot or two away as the whole shit is going on. That's why I say sometimes you black motherfucker, I don't show up if I know it's a black event. If I know a lot of black folks going to be there, I don't show up. And I don't show up. Not, it's not knocking black folks, but sometimes you kind of know what you going to get, especially when you take a look and you see who going to be there. Now, I'm not talking about the working class black folks. I'm not talking about the black folks who go to work do their thing and come home the positive-minded black people. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about the ghetto motherfuckers that turned Six Flags into damn SummerSlam.
Cobb police shot 15-year-old Sayer Littlefield after they say he shot at them. He's in critical condition at Grady, now facing charges that include aggravated assault on an officer. Cobb police say they got a number of tips about posts online like this one before Saturday and were actively investigating them. A TikTok appeared to hint that violence that night was planned. Point of view, you live in Atlanta and you already know what finna go down March 2nd at Six Flags, with a laughing emoji.
I called the tip line to let them know what was happening and what I had seen on social media and how they can see it as well on social media, and that was it. Nothing else was done.
Now, there are worries about safety in and around the park heading into the summer. Last year's opening day also got marred by kids fighting. Cobb County Commissioner Monique Sheffield tells Fox 5, "I am disappointed and share safety concerns," adding, "Currently Six Flags does not have a chaperone."
All right, that's it. So as y'all can see, this is not nothing that's new. Last year, Six Flags season, multiple fights broke out. As they said, opening day last year was fights. During the summer, it was fights. And the majority of these fights are involving black youth. Something needs to be done. Because now when these black youth kill each other outside the park, inside the park, or when they get arrested, you got all these fucking leaders, all these fucking black celebrities in Atlanta jump online. Oh, the police is harassing the black youth. No, you motherfuckers is fighting. Opening day, Six Flags. You got families, kids. You got everybody going there to have fun. I got a fucking season pass that I don't even know if I'm going to use right now because I'm not trying to go to that ghetto shit. If you got to show up to Six Flags with a gun, you going there to ride nigga, why you need a gun to ride a fucking roller coaster? But like I said, man, if you one of them ghetto motherfuckers, hey, please stay home so me and my son can go and enjoy some shit and not have to worry about you ghetto motherfuckers popping up, man. But again, I want to boo you motherfuckers. Fuck y'all, man. Take your asses home. Now, in a recent episode, I spoke about, would you take a gay role for $4.5 million? Now, I got a response from my guy, Sully. Shout out to my guy, Sully, man. Again, I said, if you are going through Target, you run into legendary black film director Antoine Fuqua. He offers you a movie role at $1.5 million per movie, but you got to do some gay things. You got to be a gay character in the movie. You got to have a gay sex scene. You got to do a little something strange for a piece of change. You got to maybe get fucked for a buck. What would you do? Check out what my guy Sully had to say. Sully, talk to me. Are you taking that gay role for that $4.5 million?
No, I would not take that role. And there are a number of different reasons for that. When I was living in Japan, I was always curious about the perception of black people in Asia, in particular Japan, where the black population is less than 0.2%. Right. They get all of their information about black people from athletes, from rappers, and from actors. So, and sadly, that is a shit pool of information to pull from.
You ain't lying.
But hey, that's all they have with a population of blacks less than 0.0. And it's very interesting. If you ever watch like a Japanese produced movie with black men in it, we always take on the role of the criminal, right? We're kidnapping the Japanese women and raping them. You know, we're dealing drugs in the heart of Tokyo. And of course, you know, drug use is a huge crime.
I want to pause because he brings up a great point. Because he brings up how black men are perceived in other cultures. Again, that's something I didn't think about. And I'm not saying that I'm for or against a black actor playing a gay role, because to me, it doesn't matter. He does bring up a very interesting point. People in other cultures, their perception and their view of black folks is based on what they see. Whether it be on YouTube, movies, they see black folks always portrayed as criminals. They see rap music, we criminals, we doing this, we beating out women, we doing this, we using drugs and alcohol. These are things that they see. So as he said, over there in Japan, a lot of the times the black characters fall into the realm of those stereotypes. We end up getting typecast into the role of a criminal. So he does bring up a very interesting point.
It's always the black men that are doing these things, right? And then we somehow wonder how the perception that black men are kind of dangerous and up to no good spread in Asia. We could say, oh, well, that's just the agenda of the media, right? That's what they're pushing. But at the end of the day, there was some nigga that said, okay, I'm not really worried about the long-term implications of me taking this role. I just want to get paid, right? I just want to be in a movie. I just want my career to go to the next level. So he sacrifices essentially how they will end up viewing black people just so he can make a quick buck and advance his career.
Now, like I said, he brings up a great point, but again, on the flip side, I think that when these actors take these roles, I don't think they even go as far as to thinking about how other cultures are going to perceive you. Like J. Alphonse Nicholson, I don't think he even thought about how another culture is going to perceive him if he takes that gay role as Lil Murder. I don't think he even got that far and thought that deep. I think, again, as Sully said, I think that his perception was simply thinking about, this is a great role that can further advance my career. I don't think he even thought about, damn, let me not take this because people in Japan or white folks or somebody else might view it a certain type of way. I can see both sides, but I can see the side Sully's speaking about from somebody, let's say Cat Williams, somebody who might live and go to sleep thinking about how other people are going to perceive you if you were to take said role. But like I said, when it comes to somebody else's career, we can't dictate or tell them what they should or shouldn't take based on how other people are going to perceive them, because these people have families. Like J. Alphonse Nicholson, I believe he has a wife and a child. So actors who have a career-breaking opportunity, I don't know if they should turn down the role because people in other cultures may view them a certain type of way, because those people may have that same mindset regardless. And that's just the facts of it. But let's dive into more of what Sully had to say. Let's talk to me.
And I'm not saying that being gay is the same thing as being a rapist or being a drug dealer. I'm just talking about the implications of us taking certain roles in movies and how it makes other people perceive us abroad when there is not a huge black population present. So I remember being at a bar in North Japan and a guy even asking me while we were drinking, was I gay? I asked him why he thought I was. And his response was, well, you know, I see the TV shows, I see the movies, I've flown on a plane in America and seen the flight attendant.
First of all, no offense, Sully. Now, you know I don't promote violence, but that's when you smack the shit out of somebody. Now, I understand he was asking to kind of be informed because he don't know. Well, you don't just ask somebody if they gay now, unless he was trying to hit on you. I don't know if he was trying to get the Sully cheeks. I don't know. He might have been trying to get the cheeks from Sully, but to just randomly, hey, are you gay? Like, no. Whatever stereotypes you got, Google the shit. Pick up your phone, go to Google, go to Yahoo, nigga, go research your shit. Don't ask me at the bar if I'm gay. Don't do that shit. That's the bullshit.
Ooh, you a lie.
In Japan, you can't be a male flight attendant, right? It's all women and they're all dressed to kill. But his first time in America, the first thing he sees on the screen when he's flying on an airplane is a gay black dude. These things have a lasting impact on how folks see us.
I want to clap it up because you're right, man. Something that I always try to do. I try to look at things from both sides because both sides matter. Because it's like a police officer. If a cop is searching for a fucking criminal and he gets tunnel vision and he gets locked in on only one suspect, if you get locked in and only let your mind think one way, then you don't open your mind up to other opportunities, to somebody else potentially changing how you feel or even understanding and having a emotional connection with somebody else and understand the world from their perspective. That's why I say, man, I always try to step outside the box and, you know, give people a chance and listen, because the world is not just black and white. It's so many colors that go in between that make up the world. And when it all combines and flows together, that's where you get Earth. Everybody's not the same. Everybody don't think the same. Everybody don't breathe the same. Everybody don't eat the same things. Everybody don't do the same shit every day. And to me, that's the beauty of the world. As long as you ain't harming nobody, anything is okay. But now, speaking of harming motherfuckers, man, again, I don't promote violence, but this next topic is when you might gotta smack the shit out of somebody. Now, in Atlanta, there have been people that are breaking in to occupied houses when these people are on vacation. If they're putting their house up for sale, people are browsing Zillow and these other fucking websites, finding out which houses are vacant, going there with their luggage and moving in. They move in, they change the locks, and now the police can't do shit. Now, they're trying to pass a law now to where the police can do something, but right now, the police can't do shit. The police can't do shit. There was a man recently, he was away caring for his sick wife. He came back to his fucking house, and black folks had moved in. They had their cars in the garage. Their cars in the garage. They had their luggage. They had changed the locks on the fucking door, moved in food and shit in there. They ain't supposed to be in there. Check this shit out.
He is simply outraged that squatters have taken over a house that he had planned to rent. He says they broke in and changed the locks. Channel 2 Action News tried to question two men going into the place, what they had to say in just a moment. And the home located on Ashton Oak Circle in DeKalb County. Channel 2's Tom Regan there live in the neighborhood with the homeowner's struggle.
Yeah, Justin, this homeowner told me that it's absolutely pathetic that these squatters seem to have more legal rights than he has. He says they broke into his home last week, changed the locks, and then showed police a phony lease.
Basically, these people came in Friday, broke in my house, had a U-Haul, moved all this stuff in.
Paul Callen says he was away care.
That's some bullshit. Like I said, but again, if you have a house, you have a rental property and you want to rent it, you have to post it online. You have to market the place that you are trying to rent in some shape or form. But you have criminals out here who go to these sites like Zillow and these other sites that a lot of realtors go to. And oftentimes criminals, they go to these sites, they look at the addresses, they go stake out the neighborhood and they move the fuck in. They move the fuck in. That's where you need my guy, Sully. Sully, bring the gun, nigga. Sully, bring the shotgun. I think it's time. And you know, the conclusion of this story, you know, thankfully, Georgia, like I said, they're working to pass the law, because at the time of this story, the police came out there. They couldn't do shit. But thankfully, the victim in this case, which was the homeowner, he was able to get them evicted. I want to clap it up. Thank God. But that's some bullshit, man. Like, it goes back to what I told you guys, I think a couple months ago, where there was a woman in the army. Now, she went away on active duty. She left. Nobody was in her crib. She came back. Motherfuckers had moved in because for some reason they found out she was away. They came and moved their shit on in there. And she had a tough time getting him out. Like I said, boo, that's some bullshit, bro. Y'all about to make me become a criminal. If criminals have all these ways, if criminals have so many fucking things they can do, and a regular folk like me, a hardworking brother, if I don't have those type of graces, those type of leeways, I think it's some bullshit. But now, speaking of bullshit, now, recently, there was a woman that went viral. Now, again, I think it might be fake, but who knows? But a woman, she went viral because, you know, she went to a basketball game, she went to an NBA game, and she said that the man, the woman, whoever she went with, whoever she was dating, bought her tickets that was too high up. She said the tickets was in the nosebleed. She said, fuck the nose. We don't do the nosebleed shit. She said, boo them fucking nosebleed tickets, nigga. So she took a video and said that she left who she was with because the person, I don't know if it was man or whoever, they took her to a game, they bought her some cheap ass tickets. She was so high up, she couldn't see some shit. Now, so, of course, y'all know the resident podcast correspondent, my guy Sully, has something to say about that. You use your last, or you use whatever you have, or maybe these was the only fucking tickets left, and you took a woman to a basketball game, but y'all way up at the top. How would you feel if the person who you thought you was doing something sweet for turned out to be ungrateful? How would you feel? Come on.
So in response to the woman going viral after leaving her date at the NBA game because the seats he got her are too far away from the court, I have a couple thoughts on that. So first and foremost, this woman is a bitch, right? She's an ungrateful bitch who did not deserve to be at the game.
Let me pause it real quick. Like I said, this ain't me speaking, but like I said, over here at the LCP, over here at that
brand new LCP,
we respect and we accept all opinion, but Sully might be right now.
I might would have bleeped it out, but Sully might be right. She might be a little B-I-T-C-H. Because whoever took you to the game, again, if we going off if the story is real, whoever took you to the game, they still spent their hard-earned money. Now, again, it rarely happens, but let's say a woman was being super sweet and she decided, you know what, John, I want to take you out to a game. I don't care if we sit in the last seat at the top of the stadium. I don't care if we sitting in the fucking on the roof and we got to watch the game through the glass sunroof. I'm never ungrateful. If I tell my wife in the future one day, hey, I'm hungry, can you bring me back a little food? I don't care if she come back with a small salad and a $1 juice. That is something, to me, it's the thought that counts. But like I say now, I always say when you factor in social media, how people have these high expectations, like, you know what, if you take me to a basketball game, we better be courtside. I want to be behind the bench. Don't ever take me to a basketball game and we up in level two, level three. No, no. A woman like that, she might deserve to be on the roof. She might deserve to sit on the roof with the fucking rain coming down hard. Tsunami. That's the type of woman she sound like. She ungrateful. So, Sully, matter, I take it back. Sully, you right. Let me rewind a little bit. I want to hear you say it again. What's she called?
Any capacity. Nosebleed seats, standing room, you know, down on the floor. She don't deserve to be there. So that's out the way. But on the other hand, is it a good idea to take a woman? I'm assuming this is a first date or maybe like a second date. Is it a good idea to take a woman on a first date to the NBA game when you know good and well you're going to be sitting up in the nosebleeds? It's my opinion that that's not a fucking good idea. Because it's not a good look, right? It does come off cheap. Even though we know the NBA seats are not cheap, especially like if LeBron or Steph Curry is in town, shit, the nosebleeds, the cheapest seats.
That's a fact. If LeBron in town, if you got Kawhi, if you got one of the marquee teams, the Denver Nuggets, and you got Jokic in town, them tickets be high as fuck.
Are going to cost you $180, $200, right? And you're talking about buying two of them. You're already talking about $400 on the first date. But despite all that, I do think it does look cheap. I'm not condoning the fact that she got up and left him because the seats were too far away. No, she's an ungrateful bitch for that. But let's be real now. Fellas, if you know you're going to be sitting at the nosebleeds, it's my opinion that you can do that with your girlfriend. You can do that with your homeboys and your family. But that is just not a good first date idea. No matter what, no matter who's in town, how much the tickets are going to cost. If you can't afford good seats, it's just my opinion that you should not take a woman on a date there if it's going to be in the early stages of the relationship.
Now, hold on, because like I said, of course, like you want to put on a good presentation for the first date. But sometimes you might want to see how grateful somebody is because like let's say, for example, to use what he said, like let's say LeBron is in town. Like that's going to be a sold out game. So the only tickets that might be left, you might be in level two. You might be in level three. Now, I think that somebody who might walk away from that date or who might have an attitude, that person is insanely ungrateful. Because yes, on the flip side, you want to put forth a good presentation. Oftentimes, you might set a bad precedent to where now she might think every time you guys go out, she's going to be courtside. Or every time you guys go out to eat, it's going to be at a top high-end restaurant. It's not. Life is ups and downs. Like, you might meet somebody right now. They might have a good job making a good income, but companies downsize. People lose jobs. Shit might happen. You might get demoted from your job. Who knows? I went to school with somebody, you know, in New York City to where they lost their job out of nowhere. And now their wife started talking down upon him, like in so many ways, kind of calling him a loser. Oh, you got to get your shit together. But it wasn't his fault. Like companies downsize, life is ups and downs. So, of course, you want to set a good image when you meet somebody. Life changes. Look, you know, for this game, we sitting courtside. But next game, we might be up at level two. We might be up at level three. So sometimes when you set the bar too high, you can play with somebody's expectations because we all know now in 2024, times change. He got to have money. He got to do this. He got to take me here. He got to do this. He got to be a rich nigga. That's a lot of the thinking that's out there. So even if I got money for courtside tickets, I don't know if I'm taking somebody that I just met to a game on the courtside because their expectations now next week, I want to go see the Atlanta Hawks versus the fucking Charlotte Hornets, and now we in level two. She gonna be looking at me, well, nigga, you know, last week we was courtside, so what the fuck happened? Look, last week was courtside. this game, we sitting at level two. Because as a grown-ass man, I want somebody who's grateful. I want somebody who's just as happy to go to a high-end restaurant and just as happy to go to Chipotle. I don't want somebody who only wants me, only loves me, only cares about being with me if we are only out at high-end establishments or if we are only out sitting courtside for the game. Because that's an ungrateful motherfucker. I need somebody that's going to be grateful. Like I said, life is ups and downs, bumps and bruises. Today, this year might be a great year. Next year, I might experience a bump. Now, if I experience that bump, are you still going to be here? Or are you going to leave to the next motherfucker that could get your courtside seats? Stop it. Now, to segue into something more entertaining. Look, I'm going to tell y'all right now, if your kids can't sing, please keep their ass home. If your kids cannot sing, please don't have them audition for American Idol. Don't have them sing happy birthday. And please don't let them go to an NBA game and sing the national anthem in front of millions of people on TV and thousands of people in the arena. Now, the Indiana Pacers, I don't know who vetted this girl. I don't know who decided it was a good idea for this little girl to sing the national anthem before the start of the Indiana Pacers game. When I tell y'all, I don't think I heard nobody sing this bad since the last time I heard myself. I don't think I heard nobody sing this bad probably since Fergie sung the national anthem. But again, I want to give her grace because she's a little girl. She's a child. But girl, where is your mama? Listen to some of this bullshit. This is her singing the national anthem before the start of the Pacers game. This little hoe need to be home. Yo, I take back everything I just said. Whose idea was it to send this little girl in front of that girl? She sound like complete dog shit. Like, if your kids can't do shit, please keep they ass home. Like I said, she don't even need to sing happy birthday to nobody. If you go to a classmate's party, you got to shut the fuck up. Like, I don't need happy. No, you can't sing. Whose idea was it? Jesus. I can't hear that shit no more, man. But like I said, man, you guys out there, I don't mean to boo a child, but we gotta boo her. She gotta get booed. Now, to segue, let's cover a little bit of celebrity news. Now, I don't really follow too much celebrity shit, man, because the shit is a mess. The shit is just tacky, but let's run down some celebrity news. Again, I don't even have nothing queued up. I'm just gonna go and scroll through celebrity news, and we're going to cover the shit. Now, Wendy Williams. Now, oh, Jesus Christ. Now, man, for you guys out there who seen the Wendy Williams doc, I believe it was four parts. I seen the first part of the Wendy Williams documentary. I could not finish the whole thing because Wendy Williams, I'm sorry. Like, a lot of my childhood was Wendy Williams. Like, my mom played Wendy Williams on WBLS, the Wendy Williams morning show, especially after it got Charlamagne. Like, my mother, every single day I woke up, I'm getting ready for school. She had the big ass TV with the fucking radio knob. My mother was playing the Wendy Williams. My mother, clap it up for Mama and Wendy Williams, man. My mama loved her some Wendy Williams, but her career is over. I believe she still wants to do a podcast. Wendy, it's over. It's over, Wendy. Whatever ideas you have about a comeback, those comeback ideas are over. I only watched one part of that documentary. And I can tell from that one part, whatever dreams and career aspirations she have to continue her career is over. Now, Wendy Williams, like, she's a legend. She's going to go down as a pioneer, as a legendary, you know, media mogul, because that's what she is. She's been around for so long on radio. She's had her long running hit show, the Wendy Williams Show, again, which is no longer in effect. But Wendy, you a legend. This reminds me of Bruce Willis. Now, Bruce Willis was also diagnosed with I believe it's called aphasia, some shit. I might be fucking it up again, but I believe it's called I believe it's called aphasia. Now, even after he was diagnosed, Bruce Willis, I don't know who the fuck was in charge of Bruce. He was still doing all every fucking C and D list movie you could think of. They were still putting Bruce Willis in. Now, even after he got diagnosed with aphasia, he did about 9 to 10 movies. Now, a report came out and said that he could not even remember his lines for some of those movies. That Bruce Willis, again, legendary actor Bruce Willis, he had to wear an earpiece during some of those movies, and he had directors and staff tell him his lines as he was shooting the movie because he could not remember the shit. That's when you know the shit is over. That's when you know your career is over. Like, you don't send somebody like Wendy Williams outside. Like, have y'all seen how she been looking? Again, it's not a knock on Wendy because I know she has health issues and shit popping up. But have you seen how Wendy Williams been looking? Please don't start a podcast. Please don't come back to talk show. Don't even go to Target and shop for some tissue. Again, I'm not knocking Wendy, but people around her need to keep her so insulated because somebody who is used to being in the public eye, we don't need to see her in that condition. That's why I only watch one part. I can't watch the last 3 parts of this fucking Wendy Williams documentary, man. She was looking bad. Like, if she was looking bad on that one part, I don't even want to imagine how she was looking on them other parts. I don't even know. I don't even want to know. But let's keep scrolling. Let's see what's going on in the world of celebrities. So Regina King has come out for the first time in 2 years and spoke about the passing of her son. Now, you guys who have been with the podcast for a couple years know that I covered Regina King losing her son because her son passed away, you know, tragically through suicide. And being somebody who has been open in the past about dealing with mental health and depression and even going so far as to plan out my own suicide in the past, I want to clap it up for her bravery and her encouragement and just being strong enough to open up, especially with losing a child. And like, I'm so happy that, you know, it took her this amount of time to open up and just be okay with talking about it, because in the era we live in now, like, motherfuckers die on Monday and the media want to hear from you on Tuesday. And you're like, motherfucker, can I grieve? I'm a person. I'm going through shit. Like, I know we live in the instant microwave. Tell us. But sometimes, motherfucker, they gonna make you wait. So this is what Regina King had to say. She went on Good Morning America, I believe, and she opened up, you know, 2 years after her son's passing, and listen to what some of she had to say.
I'm a different person, you know, now than I was January 19th. I am. Grief is a journey, you know. I understand that grief is love that has no place to go. I know that it's important to me to honor Ian in the totality of who he is. I speak about him in the present because he is always with me, and people expect that to have to experience this and not be able to have the time to just sit with Ian.
I want to clap it one more time for Regina King, man, because that's something that's tough to deal with, man. Because like I said, when you're going through grief, especially when you lose a loved one, but especially when you lose a child, man, like, I know it's tough. And sometimes, like, that's something you got to sit with. Like, that's not something you can just jump on fucking social media with and just, you know, be all happy and skipping through flowers and shit. Sometimes you need time to sit. Now, it's been a lot going on in the celebrity world recently about age gaps and dating and, you know, and I believe Jalen Green, the basketball player from the Houston Rockets, he is having a baby with Drea. Now, I believe Drea is close to 40, and I think Jalen Green is about 22, 23 years old, and it's all this fucking hoopla about the age gap. Me, like I said, some of you guys probably might try to, oh, John, you're so wrong. John, that's fucked up. But to me, I don't care about the age gap. I don't. As long as somebody's now, if you 18 and the person you dating is 40, okay. But he 22. Like, we got to stop picking and choosing. Like, is 22 a grown-ass adult or is 22 a child? Because we do too much of that to where, based on the situation, oh, you know, you're grown. Oh, you're grown. This person is grown. He be charged as an adult. He's grown. But now, when it comes to dating, that person is not grown. Like, we got to stop the shit. Pick a side, okay? Pick a side. Me, I don't give a fuck. Dre is grown. Jalen Green, yes, he's 22, 23. Yes, he's younger, but he's a grown-ass man. I don't give a fuck. The same thing if you reverse the shit. You look at the hoopla over Drake because Drake is, I don't know, close to 40, 37, 38. I don't know. I don't follow these fucking celebrities' ages. And it's rumors that he's dating. Well, it's not rumors. The shit kind of came out that he's dating or messing around with rapper Lotto's sister named Brooklyn. I believe Brooklyn is about 21 years old, and it's all this hoopla over the age gap. The age gap. How dare you? How dare you date somebody that's young? Like I said, me, I don't give a fuck. Why do people care? This person is not a child. Now, if Drake was 37 and he was dating somebody that was just turned 18, then I can understand. But, bruh, she 21. We gotta stop picking and choosing when we gonna use the "this person is an adult" card versus "this person is a child." That's why I say, to me, that's some of the negatives about social media, because people pick and choose when they want to apply some shit. Because now if she go do something fucking stupid, now, oh, no, she 21, she grown, she need, like, but then when you look at dating, now she's not grown, now she's a child. Like, stop the shit. Pick a fucking side. Is this person grown, or is this person a child? And a lot of that right there is why I do not follow celebrity news, because it's so much fucking selective outrage. On one side, you have people co-sign it. On the other side, you have people that's against it based on the person they like and based on so many fucking different types of shit. Now, Kanye West went on a rant. I don't give a fuck. He going to rant every fucking month. We could skip that. Now, ooh, this is something I want to clap it up for Congress. Now, the House passed a bill this week that would lead to a nationwide ban on TikTok if its Chinese owner does not sell. I want to clap it up, man. One more time. We need more claps. Fuck TikTok. Like, some of y'all piss me the hell off, man. Every time I fucking scroll, it's TikTok. That's half the reason why dating in this area is so hard, because so many people, they use TikTok or they use social media as a way to determine what they should and shouldn't want in a relationship. And it makes dating so much difficult, man, because people, they don't simply step into a situation or meet somebody and be their true, authentic self. Just go based off of your morals and standards that you were raised upon. Stop using TikTok and Instagram and what's the fucking Netflix, Love is Blind, and all these shows to kind of twist the dating field into something you want based on fantasy illusions that you see on TV or on a fucking app. Now, to segue from that, Cardi B recently, she spoke out about couples who don't go 50-50 in their relationship. She said the internet be having people fucked up from reality. And I want to clap it up because she's right. Cardi B is right. Now, I'm not saying you got to go 50-50, but the internet be having, especially women, think that because you look good, because you got nice tits, because you got a nice body, that means you are a wife, and that means a man should just pay for your entire life because you got titties. And that ain't true. But listen to just a little smidget of what Cardi B had to say.
All right, so this is what I believe in, right?
Like, me, it's too. Like,
if you're going to be the type of bitch that, like, a nigga, you want a nigga to take care of you and everything, but it's like, all right, you have to, like, pick a balance. Like, it's like, you cannot just be a bitch that is like, oh, my man take care of me, he does the bills. But it's like, what do you do? What are you contributing? Like, it's like, all right, like, you can't be complaining, like, oh, I cook, I clean every day. It's like, okay, but you don't work. You don't contribute to the house. So I just feel like it's like, and, like, sometimes people be like, oh, so this is, like, really controversial, right?
Cool.
I feel like it's very controversial when, like, be like, oh, I don't go 50-50. But it's like, all right. So if you and your man make the same amount of money, right? Mm-hmm. But only your man is the one that's paying all the bills. How you ever going to save up to, like, buy a house or buy a business? Because he's never going to be able to afford to. So it's like certain things is like a joint thing. Like,
I got a message.
I got to stop it right there for a second, man, because she's right. She's right. And sadly, I've met people. I've met men, rather, who've been in situations like that to where they work at the same fucking job, making the same amount of money per hour. He knows what she makes and vice versa. But only he is required. Hey, you know, if we go out on a date, pay for everything. At the house, pay for everything because you the man, you got to leave, you got to do this. They're making the same fucking money. So now because he's paying for everything, now she's saving up. So now when his money is depleted, I've had men tell me, yo, she calling me broke. And I'm like, of course you're going to be broke because y'all making the same fucking, y'all work at the same job, making the same amount of money. But you using all your money on every fucking thing. So yes, you going to be broke. And she not going to be broke because she gets to keep all of her income. Now, of course, she got to pay for her own shit like hair, nails and car note and shit like that. But the bulk of everything you're paying for with the same fucking income. And that's why I say it's a lot of fucking delusional thinking with dating. And I spoke to somebody this week, you know, somebody who I think is dope. And she agreed that the dating space is fucking terrible right now, man, because so many men, so many women follow social media, especially women. Jesus Christ. Y'all know how many times I be out at Target or I just be out outside and somebody quotes TikTok to me and I be like, yo, we have to get past this stage, man. Or somebody says, you know, oh my God, that couple in Love is Blind, that's the type of man I want. I love that. And I'm just like, you probably never gonna find that because you are watching and judging life from an edited TV show. 1 hour in a TV show is probably about 1 week or maybe a week and a half in real life. So you're seeing everything condensed down to 60 minutes. You are not seeing everything. You aren't seeing the fights that those couples had before the edited videos came out. You aren't seeing the disagreements. You are judging life from 60 minutes of a TV show. That's why now, man, like I said, man, so many people, they come online, they come on social media and complain about the other sex. But are you in a healthy place in your life? Are you judging people based off of other qualities outside of just money and looks? If you judge people off money and looks, that is okay. But you got to shut the fuck up and you got to accept whatever the fuck comes your way, man. So you guys out there, man, who staying locked in, who stay tuned in to that LCP on all platforms, y'all know what time it is, man.
Brand new LCP.
Continue to let your friends, let your family, your coworkers know that you love the Lunchroom Chatter podcast, that the LCP is dope. Like I said, man, we independent. Spread the word. Again, my Cash App is $NYCStory718. My Venmo is Lunchroom Chatter Pod. Stay locked in. Stay tuned in on all platforms. Spread the word. Y'all know what time it is. This is that.
Brand new LCP.